The relationship of faith and works. James lesson 5. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. As we continue on our series that I've been doing on Sunday evenings in the book of James, we looked in the first lesson the similarity between the book of James and Jesus. The James is like a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, being James being Jesus' brother. We looked in lesson number 2, James and temptation. Number 3, being doers of the word. Number 4, showing partiality, the sin of partiality. And lesson 5, the relationship of faith and works. These are really simple, basic lessons that so many times we do not look at, do not apply in our lives. They are worthy of our time and consideration. So we're going to begin in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And we all realize if somebody is starving or they don't have food and we have what they need and we don't give to them, there's something wrong. There's something that is missing in our life. These are just some pictures of people and their food in this culture. And if you say to them, go in peace and be filled, what use is that? What does that profit? But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So one of the things that James brings up is demons. Demons were something that just about every religious culture accepts as existing. James may have been present. This is the synagogue at Capernaum, an aerial view. James may have been present at the synagogue when a man with an unclean spirit met Jesus. The unclean spirit recognized Jesus and expressed great fear of him. Mark 1, 21 through 26. Thus, James may have been speaking here from personal experience. Even the demons believe in Christ. He uses another example in verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. We all know and understand, and they knew the great story of Abraham when God wanted him to offer his son Isaac. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. He brings up another example. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We ask the question, why is it that people don't understand this? And again, a lot of people will listen more to what some man says instead of to what God says, or instead of reading the Bible. In James, notice in chapter 2, verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what is James saying? Is it hard to understand? He's saying faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. It's Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. If we say we have faith and we don't do any works, our faith is dead. Now, a lot of people want to argue about this, and some will say that Paul and James taught two different things. They say, look, these two men taught something different. They will say that Paul taught that we are saved by faith, and that James taught that we are saved by works. But remember when we went through the book of Romans, and we noticed this faith that is talked about in Romans. Romans 1:5, that we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Romans 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you're the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. In Romans 16:25, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. So notice, the book of Romans is filled with faith. But what type of faith is it? He mentions at the beginning of the book, it's an obedient faith. Chapter 1, verse 6, it's an obedient faith. Romans 16, it's an obedient faith. So when Paul is teaching faith, he's talking about faith that obeys, faith where there is works. Now, we get caught up in reasoning sometimes, and there's something in logic that's called a two-valued orientation. It's either this or that, and this creates a faulty premise. So this premise goes that one answer is right and the other is wrong. However, both answers could be wrong. Both answers could be right. So we gotta think about this. So just to give you some examples here. So what is the capital of Ohio? Is the capital Cincinnati or is the capital Columbus? That's a pretty easy one. It's Columbus. Okay, I'll give you a little bit harder one this time. And with this, we see one answer is right and the other answer is wrong. Okay, here's another one. How do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky? Do you say Louisville or do you say Louisville? And you ask a lot of people and they're going to say one or the other. I know Nat knows the answer to this. How do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky? Both of these answers are wrong. It's Frankfort. It's Frankfort. But if you're given two choices, are you saved by faith or you say by works, it's got to be one of those. See, both answers can be wrong. That's a two-valued orientation. Are we saved by faith or by works? Which are we saved by? We're saved by both. We are saved by both. It's not one or the other. We are saved by both. That's what Paul taught, and that's what James teaches. And people get caught up in especially faith only. So we are justified by both, and it's a sin to assert that men are justified either by faith alone or by works alone. If someone says we're saved by faith alone and that's all it is, and there's a lot of people, you see these churches on they'll call themselves faith or I believe. All you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. No, you will not. You have to have some works that goes with it. And you can't be saved by works You have to have the faith that goes with it. So many people seem to have a faith with no object. And you think about this for a minute. A lot of people, their faith is really in their faith. I just believe whatever I want to believe. They believe that believing will make it so. It's like that power of positive thinking or thinking something over and over. This is a form of wishful thinking that enables a person to live completely in a make-believe world. Have you ever talked to somebody and had a conversation with them about something out in the world, and you finish talking with them and you talk to somebody else and you say, what world is that person living in? They aren't dealing in reality. They aren't thinking logically. Again, with some of this, a form of wishful thinking enables a person to live completely in a make-believe world. Years ago, there's such a push for the power of positive thinking. There probably still is today. You think it, believe it, you achieve it. That's a man-made doctrine. So consider this too. Faith may be put in an idol made of stone. The idol would still do absolutely nothing. You go back to the Old Testament and they had all kinds of graven images that they made out of wood, out of stone. They would cover them with things. And we would say those people, they just didn't understand God at all. But today we have people, especially of one religious belief, they'll have little dashboard idols. I know they call them something else, but these little figurines, they stick on their dash. So the patron saint of transportation or whatever they call them, they have faith in, basically, it's an idol. It's some man-made thing. So faith may be put in an idol made of stone. It'll do absolutely nothing. Faith may be put in a God fabricated out of one's imagination. And since this God is non-existent and is not Jehovah God, nothing will be accomplished by that God. So people can come up, they create all these gods in their mind. We know the pagans had different gods for different things, but in a sense, men still do that today. They create a God as they want him to be, not as the God that is described in the Bible. Faith may be put in a system of salvation or forgiveness, not ordained by God, and this system will promise nothing to the believer. It's the teaching of men. You think about the Baptist doctrines, the Mormon doctrines, the Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, all of these systems of salvation, men put their faith into it. If they have faith and they put their faith into one of these systems, is it going to save them? No, it's not going to save them. So there's a little more that we need to look at here. So faith and works. Well, let's start with works. What type of works are under consideration? James 2:14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? James is speaking of works of obedience, not works of merit. John 6:29, belief is called a work by Jesus. This is the same type of work as repentance and baptism. Works of obedience, not works of merit. So there's different types of faith, there's different types of work. So we've got to lay them out on the table and look at them. Now Matthew 7:21 through 23 is a good section to show works of merit versus works of obedience. And without works of obedience, these are still lost. And we look at their works. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So these individuals in Matthew 7:21-23, did they have works? They did. What kind of works were they? They had works of merit. Works of merit. Look at all this good that we do. You see that in churches today. You see that in churches here in New Lebanon. Look at all the people we feed. Look at all the clothes we give away. Look at all the good we do. Those are works of merit. Where are their works of obedience? Their works of obedience, to believe, to repent, to be baptized. Those who are trying to teach the false doctrine of faith only most often point to the book of Romans as proof, but the book begins and ends with obedience to the faith. We saw in the beginning, in the middle, and end, it was all talking about an obedient faith. The works being addressed in the book of Romans are the works of the old law. Paul was telling the Jews who had become Christians that the works in the law of Moses will not save. Faith is demonstrated only through works. One who boasts about his faith but never does any good works must be doubted. I can say you wouldn't believe how great my faith is. My faith is just so big. It's so great you wouldn't believe. And you say, well, what have you done to prove your faith? And I say, oh, I just believe I have great faith. You'd say, no, show me something. You believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. You see, James has selected this fundamental doctrine of all religion, the existence of one supreme being. James shows that even if one believed this, it's also believed by demons and cannot save you without the required works of obedience. And sometimes you'll meet someone, you start doing business with them, or you meet them by accident, or just strike up a conversation, and, oh, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Well, what does that mean, to be a believer? When someone says, well, I'm a believer, you can say, well, that's a good start, but you know the demons believe also. And they think just because they say, I'm a believer, they're going to heaven. Well, the demons are believers. Are they going to heaven? Don't think so. So James does not belittle faith. He encourages it, but the right kind of faith. In Matthew 8:29, we find one account of the demons believing and crying out in fear, but their belief and fear did not bring them any benefit. Suddenly they cried out saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? So they recognize Jesus. They recognize Jesus as the Son of God. And this shows that strong belief that even caused trembling and fear is not enough by itself without works of obedience. And I have not personally seen, but I've heard people talk about people at revivals that would come forward, and whoever was encouraging them to come, it was like, you've got to believe more, you've got to believe more, and they would work themselves up into a frenzy to make their faith stronger. Trembling in fear. And even if you're trembling in fear, that's not enough by itself without works of obedience, without believing, without repenting, without confessing, without being baptized. So what are the things that the demons do? They pray, that's good. They have knowledge about God and Jesus, that's good. They have faith, that's good. They confess their faith, that's good. But what do they leave out? They show no signs of repentance. They do not seek to do the will of God. So when someone just says they believe, at that point, they are no different than one of the demons. They are no different. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? So this is a rhetorical question that answers itself. Yes. Yes, he was justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar. The fact that Abraham is Jews shows that even the father of the faithful had to obey. Is it possible that this point is being made because the Jews believe that being a descendant of Abraham was all that was needed for salvation? You see this over and over and over in the New Testament. The Jews would cry out, "We are Abraham's seed. We are descendants of Abraham." It's like they thought that was their ticket to heaven. And Jesus said, God can raise up seed from stones. It's just because you're a descendant of Abraham doesn't mean that you're going to make it to heaven. So the only kind of work that brings justification is a work done in obedience to a command of God. The only kind of work that brings justification is a work done in obedience to a command of God. What was the command that we read that Saul was given this morning? What was that command? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord and washing away your sins. Abraham had faith in God, but it was not accounted to him for righteousness until it proved itself in works. Abraham recognized that it was his obligation to obey God and to trust God to keep his promises. So we see different kinds of works. We see different kinds of faith. We see different kinds of works. We see works of the law of Moses, which is talked about in Romans. We see works of merit, Matthew 7. We see works of obedience. Belief is a work. Now we go and look at what Paul wrote to the Galatians, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So many people wanted to be justified by the works of the law. Paul states that Abraham's justification was before the law of Moses. Abraham didn't even live under the law of Moses, so how could he be justified by the law? Abraham's justification was before the law of Moses and apart from it, just as he insisted it was before circumcision. Romans 4, 10 through 12. Therefore, Paul and James agreed that a work of obedience growing out of one's faith in God and Christ is the basis of justification. Faith plus works. So when we think about this, and again, that so many people just think it's faith only, works only, I don't see how they can really believe that when they look in the Bible. And I want us just to turn to Hebrews 11 for a minute. The great chapter of faith in all of these worthies. Did they just believe, like that just believe ministry, and it was counted to them for faith? Just notice some of these. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. He starts off by faith. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Faith plus works. And again, faith comes by hearing. By faith, Enoch in verse 5 was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. God had taken him before he was taken. He had this testimony that he pleased God. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things yet moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. If Noah just sat down and said, God, I believe you're going to do what you're going to do, would that have saved him? No, he worked. He worked for 120 years preaching and building that ark to save souls. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place. He dwelt in a land of promise. Going on down through this chapter in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, we see the life of Moses and the things that he did. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. You think about coming up to the Red Sea, and Moses said, now we gotta have faith that Red Sea is going to open up and go through. I don't know exactly what that would have been like, but they went through. And you just think, when you're crossing through a body of water like that, what if it came back and you got drowned too? But it didn't. They had faith in God. They had faith that God was going to deliver them. They had faith so much that they marched through on dry ground. They had an obedient faith. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. They marched around the city 7 days, seven times on the seventh day. Did the walls come down by faith or did the walls come down by works? Yes, both. Both. They had faith and they worked to bring that about. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies in peace. And she sent them out another way. And what more shall I say of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets? All of these great men and these women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So all of these examples of faith, was it faith only? No, it was works. James is teaching the relationship of faith and works. It's not one or the other. It's both of them together. It's not works of merit. It's works of obedience. And the faith is not a believe only. It is an obedient faith. So are we saved by faith or by works? We are saved by both, not one or the other. I think James uses some very clear examples here, and when you compare him with Paul's writing, we see how they fit together. So what's the lesson for us? Do we have faith? Do I have faith? Then what am I doing? We have to be obedient. We might say, well, I've already done those works of obedience. When Jesus said to believe is a work, I've already believed, I've already repented and confessed and been baptized. Well, friends, that's just the beginning. And we have a life of works to continue doing them by faith. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that is struggling with sin, you need to make a confession, you need to ask for prayers. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.